monkeys out of them.
All of it?
I've tacked it up 2 or 3 times, and I got another piece to put up then. Got an old broom handle sitting in a basket, and the basket on top of a trunk to keep it from falling down. And then I'm going to have to get up then. He's got a piece of stuff that he could put up there, but he says he don't want to put any more in there. He wants to do this. And I says, well, son, I says, that piece would help you out a whole lot in the wintertime, help you out a whole lot in the summertime, because the mosquitoes will come in under the eaves up there at the rafters, you see.
Oh.
They'll come in up there and come right home down into his room where there's that big crack there and that thing hanging. That's a big square-like piece. It turned loose over here at the wall. It's dripping. And over here at the corner that comes out over the bed, hanging down like that. I think sometimes, well, I don't know, after I go to bed, I don't go to bed till 1 or 2 o'clock. I leave. I said, well, I'm sorry that thing's like it is, I said, but I bet old Frankie come out of that bed if a snake come rolling out of there on the bed. These rat snakes, you know, gets up in there.
Oh, yeah. I've caught him right up there in the head of the stairs.
I says, I bet he'd make a door. Make another door in there, getting out of the snake just fall out of there. Well, in my room, right up over the door, there's a place where it leaked a long time ago before it got up there with that roof and tar and tarred it all across it, that way you thought the leak was. It's rotted out and it just keeps rotting. And one day I went in there in my room for something. Oh, wait, wasn't I? And I happened to look down on the floor and there was a snake about that long laying on the rug that
yeah.
I said, oh my Lord. I said, I wonder how long you've been here, where'd you come from? I eased back in, had to come out of my room, into the kitchen, then into the dining room. And I got fire tongue, you know, not the tongue, but the poker. I went back in there. I said, now, I can't turn the light on, because do you run? And I began to bang, bang. Margaret heard, and that's before she ever got the trailer. You'd almost hear a pin drop from one house to the other, you know. But now you had to get out and hoop your throat raw to make one another hear the other. And she heard me a-bamming. She said she thought maybe I'd fell or something had happened, and I was knocking on something to draw her attention. Come down there and I done quit beating, had him up on there. Fire poker going down and I made the, hey, Mama! Oh, Mama, where'd that come from? Ooh, she began to rub her stuff, you know, and shove her. She wasn't as stout as she is now either.
Oh, those things can make you flesh crawl. Just come up on them when you ain't expecting
it. You're talking about a snake, there's a place right here on my arm.
Yeah.
Just as cold as it can be.
What happened to that?
I picked up a rattlesnake on it one time.
Rattlesnake?
You're as long as this table.
And you live to tell it.
I live to tell it, but oh. Don't keep my arm from getting cold.
Is that right?
And how come me to do it? We were digging sweet potatoes. They're popping the mule was with the plow, dragging the potato vines off. And I was following along behind, picking up the ones coming out of the ground from the vines, you know, throwing them in a pile. And the plow got choked. Well, I went and run my arm under there and got the vines off, and he lifted the plow, went on about his business. Whap, coming down my feet. Boy, potato vines went everywhere, and I just jumped right straight up and down. I never got out of my truck. Ha! Snake, snake, snake! Oh, when he come back, he sent a rattlesnake. He grabbed me by my arm, and he slung me clear over to the other terrace. It was on the hillside, and he used terraces to keep it from washing. And boy, he just went clear across to the other terrace. And I still come looking down the hall, and snake, well, our neighbor lived a little farther from, about as far from us, I reckon, as, not quite as far as our mailbox is from my house, but they had potato patch in the next terrace cut, you know. And they were digging potatoes. Well, they come running over then. Papa, he run over and got a hole and beat on the snake's head and then got a pitchfork. He said, look at here, Mr. Hutchison. And I was still hauling snake, and jumping up and down. Papa said, go to the house.
I said, I can't. He said, snakes and I can spell snake almost around me. I get cold and hot.
This cold place right there on my arm, right there.
Well, did he got you?
No, he didn't bite me. He didn't. It was cold weather, you see, and dragging him in them potato vines had got him so, I reckon, numb where he couldn't do nothing but when he said, right straight up and down. I didn't get away from the snake and just jumped up and down. I hollered, Papa, Papa, snake!
Well, what makes it numb?
Well, you see, dragging him in the, oh, you mean my arm? Oh, it just gets cold.
Just the thought of it, I imagine. You know, it's been implanted all these years.
I just imagine that snake being on my arm, you know, and they're cold anyhow.
Yeah.
And it just gets cool across. But anyway, talking about licking the numb, I guess dragging the snake from where he was crawling from or laying at in those potato vines, and it was an armful. And I think he met me on my shoulder. I didn't see him until I heard him go poof down on the ground.
I don't know where I lived this long or not. I wouldn't even thought of them, but I don't know where I lived this long.
I heard
something go
poof
down on the ground.
They were vine zealous. Probably had to drag them up again.
Does anybody in your family say the blessing?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you say the blessing?
May the Lord make us thankful for what we're about to receive as Christ's taking.
This
down. I don't get
it. Let it rain, Faye. If you put the rain, windows all down, it won't rain.
somebody could have made us some biscuits, but somebody didn't.
Man,
so
tell you, let me
tell
you.
Thank you. I've cooked many a biscuit. I don't cook biscuit now. I'm getting fatter and fatter and fatter and fatter. You know, and I've always been a biscuit cooker ever since I was 7 years old.
You want to jacket?
No, sir.
Let me tell you, that's the one thing that I live in dread of in Florida. And that's the reason I wear these old things. I never go out without them.
That's good.
Never go out without them. And I don't stoop over and pick up nothing. When I first come down here, I got well acquainted with those fellas. Yes, sir.
You have to be... There is a nose. Talking about the snake.
Oh yeah, rattlesnakes. Rattlesnakes. I don't mind the others.
Saint Maggie used to say you want some moke in your coffee.
Yes. No, me.
You have some what, Mrs.?
Moke. Couldn't say milk.
Oh,
what
did
he make it? He makes his plain though, doesn't he?
This? That's breakfast coffee.
You must like it cold anytime. You like it cold?
Do
you heat it up?
I like it hot at breakfast, but then it gets cool, and I kind of like it cold. Isn't that
all right? Rosalie's that way. Mama's sister. She
she's going to make a big old pot of coffee, and she'll drink it hot. Mm-hmm. It's cool, I think. Like I said, it ain't hot. I don't care. Maybe I'd be in. Sis, pour me a cup of coffee while I said, well, ain't neither one of them hot. And it don't make any difference. Give it to me. I drink it cold. But I like it cold. I says, well, I guess I want mine hot. So I pour her a cup of cold coffee.
We used to come in and they had the old pot of coffee sitting over there in the middle of the air at night. I forget. And we'd pour out a little of that old coffee.
Be all right to tell a joke about the man in the hot coffee?
He's telling something about some coffee.
Okay.
And put some sugar in it and ate a biscuit with it. Is that old black coffee? And it tasted so good. I kind of forget how we did it. What was that?
What are you talking about, the biscuit with it?
But I can still taste that old black coffee. It was so
cold biscuits or anything.
Something I forget. What were you going to tell?
I sipped my coffee and it burnt me, and I asked Marjorie, "Be all right to tell a joke on the fellow about the coffee?"
Why not?
Yeah, let's have it.
Well, it is not a dirty joke, but boy, it's something. If I'd have said the word I'm going to use now, I might have found myself getting up on the floor. If Mama or Papa used one, I'd stay close. But anyway, this was at a...
Oh, they wouldn't have liked it.
No, sir. This was at a rooming house, you know. Come down the boarders, come down to get the breakfast. And there was kind of a shy fella, how much to say or do. It is really raining.
Smelling is coughing, don't see it. Let me get it. If it's where I can get it, it's like it. I thought I saw some of the little.
That's right.
Saw this.
I think there's something there, right?
But anyway, this fella, he was.
Thank you. That helping
him? Yeah,
back for collect, you know. I don't know what you want to.
Yeah, keep coming.
Cat come
young man.
Yeah.
All right,
you.
You
yeah.
Want
some?
Now he won't farm and put in a field out there. That's what I do. I don't like the garden, but I love to.
Yeah.
Put in an egg or two.
Put my onion up. I can bite it. Mm-hmm. Got teeth, but they won't let me bite. Thank you, sir. I believe I can get along better in the dark. I said, thank you. I believe I can get along better in the dark.
Get along the light?
It blinds me.
It blinds me.
I said, you know, I said, thank you, sir. I believe I can get along
tell
better.
Tell him about hot coffee. Mm-hmm.
So this fella, he asked the girls, this lady, she had several daughters, and she was running this rooming house, and this girl, she come around asking, says, what will you have? Will you have so-and-so and so-and-so? He says, I'll take a cup of coffee, please. So she goes and gets him a fresh cup of coffee and brings it back and sits down. He forgets about it being hot. And he picks it up and got a big mouth going in. Blaze, damn you! That's the first time he'd ever said anything outside of say so and so, please. Yes, please.
He wasn't getting no.
This girl and her mother. So, this man that told it, we knew him.
Mm-hmm.
And he told it on this other fellow because it was a great friend of
his. You know what? You can sit down and take a mouthful of potatoes. It's hot.
And nothing any worse in this world than hot potato. Oh,
and then he left that place after that and said, this old lady and them girls had just rolled all over the kitchen floor, hooping and a like. Nobody never say anything, only to pass so and so, please. Pass so and so, please. Will you have so and so? I thank you, yes, please. Maybe he'd take it and put it down. And then when the girl come around, coffee pot here and says, do you have some more coffee? Yes, I believe I will. And please, or thank you, or something like that. And she had more and got back and put the pot down. And, you know,
let's spell it this time.
Blazed. But Bud Laster said that thing tickled him so. He was a boarder there too. He said that thing tickled him so that he had to get up from the table and leave.
Where was that, Miss?
Oh, that was way back younger, years ago when I was a little girl about.
Wait, yeah. I mean, they was boarding?
Boarding at a boarding house, you know, rooming house.
Yeah.
Some got the meals in, some went other places. But this lady, she was a widow lady, and she had 4 girls, I think. Said every one of them lay down on the floor and roll.
You know, I miss that old boarding house as much as I miss anything. Because it used to be, you could go anywhere, anytime, and you'd always find a boarding house. And you could go, and they'd treat you just like you was at home, you see. Uh-huh. You could sit down there and talk to the family,
that's
and you
right.
never felt, I never felt lonesome. But now, you see, if I go off somewhere, I don't have nowhere to go but a restaurant, and they won't pay attention to me.
A lot of difference, too, in the service a person gets. I mean, there's no personal contact with anybody mm-hmm. more. It's all financial. You know, they have to get what they've done out of you, whether
it's
food's right or not.
It's all business transactions. Mm-hmm. And you could sit down there.
It ain't so delicious, Mrs. Miles. Your wife is a lovely lady, is a good cook.
Just country eating, and beans out of the garden.
Well, haven't you heard the saying, though, you can go to somebody else's house and eat bread and meat, and it's always better.
Always different and good, no matter where.
I've never been hard to please about my meals, but I will have to defend myself that I was getting up in years before I put on all this weight, because I reckon I don't eat like I should, or I mean, I don't, you know, work and don't do anything, and so I put on a lot of weight. So when Betty Ann's talking about weight, she looks right at me. I don't want to be fat and looks right at me. And I
well,
tell her, I hope she's not fat.
You're not the heavy. Nah, you have been heavy, though.
Sir?
You've been heavy?
Looks like it's here to stay. It's like the dry weather.
Well, is that as heavy as you ever been?
Oh, well, with the exception of about 3 pounds more. That's 70 miles on the way over here. I weighed 120 when Lane and I married. 34 years ago, the last of this month. And we'd been married a long time before I started putting on weight. But boy, when I put on my weight mostly since Betty Ann's been in school. And
mm-hmm.
especially this.
Are you?
You don't dare mention a 190 pounds, you know, in the presence of men for a woman. That's a ghastly weight. And that's the way I weigh, and it's terrible. Mm-hmm. Miles wouldn't even come nowhere near that. Of course, he's tall and he.
You don't look it.
Good gracious, Miss Miles. You got a field you want me to fence, you want me to mend, or field you want me to cut some thistles out of, or something like that?
You don't have to hire you out, don't man.
I keep telling her she don't
know. That's it, let me tell you. Now, you had another stormy spell there.
That's.
Right close to it.
Yes, but this first one, I was going to tell you, when it did get to where we could get outside, Frank says, mine, Lord, look at my pears. And all the pears on that tree just about had blown off. And they're great big old things.
Is that when the time mom was talking about the corn, the water washed in it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the time the storm came and we went out to the barn?
Yeah.
And we stayed till 4 o'clock and I waited at the house. Water up from knee. Now, this is before I married, of course. Waded the house up, water almost up to my knees, and cooked the breakfast on the fireplace.
I just down about you and Martin getting out.
Yeah, Martin and I always, we were, he take an opportunity all the time, it'd be raining or something, and he'd take the opportunity to bake a cake when it was raining. The wood stove. He's a good cook, too.
Oh, is he?
But whenever we got to where we could, everyone in the family, even to the little girl that died, she had a little old dress just as long as she could pack a pear in it. And she'd be coming along, Mama, I got some more pears, and the water was up to here on her.
Oh.
And it was up to my hips on my Aunt Margaret. And the boys, they almost had to swim down to the fence back of us, Frank Jigna. A big bucket, and they'd go down there and pick pears up where they'd drop down to the ground and just line the fence. They just stood there and picked them pears up. And how many bushels were it, Mark? We say 15 or 20, wasn't it?
I know there's that long that time, there's 3 trees, I wonder.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the trees are there.
Did
but
you
we
have
had huge pears, too.
But this was the only tree that had many on it, you know, in Papa.
Yeah.
Your daddy had sold them to a man before the storm came.
What did you do with those pads?
He sold them to this man. He found a
couple. We always make preserves. And
yeah.
But I don't think
pickling.
Oh, you do me. Everything with them. Preserve them, pickle them,
take
everything.
Make feelings,
make
jelly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm. His mama can say now if I had a dollar every time I made pear jelly. But you know, last year, I haven't so far, ever since Lane and I've been married. We've been married about 6 months and I started canning. I've been doing it ever since.
Well,
but I'm losing that interest, son, eh?
Do you still have those pantries?
Yes, there was a piece of one that had such a load of pears on it.
Every year it happened, huh?
You still have it?
Yes, but it keeps rotting away, and maybe a new limb will come out.
Well, this little pear tree right here, it really produces. And some years it has so many on it that you have to prop up the limb.
That's the way ours have been, but for the last 2 years.
The only way to eat a pork chop is pick it up and eat it.
Well, that's the way I used to do. But my Uncle Jim used to tell us, you know, whenever you're at home raising, if you don't have it home, you won't have it to go off from home.
It's your Uncle Jim.
Now, he tell you what?
He tell us kids, you know, the matter of using the knife and fork. It wasn't that we were taught, but I don't know, it seemed like the knife went out of style several years ago. In some instances, the fork was forgotten. And he used to would rather we'd go fishing, stay all day, and we didn't walk, we rode the wagon, you know, went the wagon, the horse and wagon. Come in, and all of us had little jobs. They were small jobs. Might be huge to children, that is. And we'd come in, and all of us be tired, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The chickens to tend to, and then they would see that we'd be shut up for the night. And if any of us forgot, we had to go out there after dark and shut those chickens up. And I'd rather Dad to beat me if I forgot to shut the chickens up. Now, that's just how scary I was.
Is that right?
And Uncle Jim was always scaring us with something. About something. He'd wait.
Oh, he loved to do that.
Oh, he did. We'd sit at the table and eat our supper and be dark. I mean, be getting late, you know, time to get the fish clean and cook supper. And this is before the house burned, too. And go down this way and I'm almost asleep. And Uncle Jim hit the table and a fork would go across the table, maybe gig somebody else. You know, we'd, the silverware would go this way and the food. And he'd, and the world is wrong. He would say, world, are you kidding? Daddy said, Jim, you know better than scare those children like that. Every one of us, we were asleep, you see, tired out from the day's fishing and coming in late, and it'd be late getting our supper. Sleepy, you know, we'd be this way with a fork, and Uncle Jim, he'd come down with that fist and hit the table, and everything would shatter just about it. And that would tickle him. Enough to sleep, you see, maybe we'd stick ourselves with a fork. And he used to hide behind things and scare us. And, that's right. And he used to have a big wood box right out in the hallway of this big house that burned. And Uncle Martin, we'd be sitting in the, what's called sitting room, one in the parlor, as I said, mm-hmm. He'd go in the sitting room.
Mm-hmm.
And Uncle Jim, he'd say, can't some of you all go out? And we didn't have electricity then.
Mm-hmm.
Says, can't some of you go out there and get some wood off the porch, out of the hallway in the box? All you had to do is go to the screen door, open the wooden door. Mm-hmm. Well, usually most, not too many people have a wood fire going in the fireplace, you know, in the summertime. So, Margaret, you clarify, you said it was supposed to be winter, anyhow. But the door opened, the wood door, and then the screen door, and Uncle Jim would wait, you see, till we got whichever was, get the door open, you know, I'm scared of the dark. Because Uncle Jim had scared us so much, from small children, you see. Well, we were still all small. And he'd wait till we get just about up to get the wood, and he'd, yeah, like that, you know, and we'd go out in the hallway with the wood. In the wood box, and he never failed. It didn't make any difference, and he could holler, do the biggest cow holler. And up until just a few years before he died, he was 92 when he died.
Yeah.
And he would go back in the woods. There used to be an old railroad called a tram road back of our house.
Mm-hmm.
What we call just about, it was past the halfway mark, wasn't it, Mama, to all such stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Halfway mark to Mr. Williams now, over the woods. And he'd go this trail down there, you know, we'd hear him holler. So Uncle Jim's going fishing today. And he lived over there on the road. for most of that time.
Yeah. So you, you still scared to die?
I'm still scared. Oh, no, sir, I'm not scared now.
Not now.
As much as I walk in the dark at night.
But all the time you was growing up, you was.
Yes, sir. It was part of the time.
Well, you know, I think...
Small, anyhow.
I think children love to be scared a little bit. Let me tell you, these calves. You watch calves, Miss Chitty. And they'll come up there and look at you, you know, and stand out there with their head sort of down and balanced on the feet. Just
gonna run at you.
Just hoping that you'll scare them. So they can run. At least that's the way I think of it. And I don't scare them anymore, you see. And that's what I need, you see. I need Uncle Jim, don't I? He would scare the cat. But I need some of these boys. Come out there, these young fellas growing up, they'd scare them, wouldn't they?
Imagine too much.
And run them. But I think they'd like it.
You mean the calves would like it?
I think they'd like that. I think that's what they're waiting for.
Well, and they like children.
And disappointed, yes, they like children. Yes, sir. They'll pick children every time, won't they?
Yeah.
I imagine the children coming out from the university, don't you reckon? They've gotten used to them. Don't the same crowd usually come about out here on Sundays or whenever they come out, Saturdays?
Oh, they're too old. You need little tykes. How old is your daughter? She's too old.
17.
Yeah. You know, a little 5, 6, 7 years
old. Yeah, it's really, to my notion, aggravating calves.
Yeah. Yeah. They really enjoy aggravating them.
How often is the couple that has a garden, how often do they come out every weekend?
Well, whenever that thing gets hard on them up there.
Seems like such a nice, come hand me that salt, please. I don't know why I'm eating so much salt.
They are
probably
nice.
Nothing else has been salty.
They are so nice.
I said it was children, people, mm-hmm. Teenagers? No, I think they've had nothing past teenagers, haven't they?
Oh, yes, yeah.
I didn't know they were married, though. So, nor me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that comes from my Chitty heritage. She's
a find outer. She's going to find out.
Is that coming to Chitty's?
I believe if you'd ever known my father, you'd have found out. Mama's very informative to some extent, but not as much as Daddy. Daddy wanted to be informed.
Oh, really?
He would ask, you know, people. And I don't do it because I knew that my daddy did it. I'm interested in people,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I guess that was his reason, too. But now the boys, if you notice, have you known any of us? You don't know my brother Martin. You don't know Munro too well.
I don't know Munro at all.
You don't know Martin either, do you?
Yeah.
You've met Martin, Gainesville?
Yeah.
Maybe you saw him at Willis.
Yeah.
Fine brothers.
The home builder.
Yeah.
And but we're all talkers.
Yeah.
But Frankie's really gotten to being more talkative in the last few years. I said, well, he had to, poor little thing.
Didn't have a chance, huh?
That's right. And with me, I can be, I talk, you know. Now, I don't mean to be forward to that, I understand. I just want to be friendly with people. I like to meet people.
Yeah.
And that's it. I like to, you know, I can strike up a conversation with anybody that I feel like I want to talk with, you know. You could be on the street and... like this girl yesterday, young girl, I had to have an opener, you know. So I was sitting there waiting on my lady friend that carried me to O'Kell on Thursday. And I was sitting there waiting. I saw the couple, young couple talking. I didn't know what, they were just high school children. Must have been living in college. And now's my chance. I waited, sit down on the bench. I watched the young lady, she got on her bike, came on down. Said, hello. Looks like you're driving your Cadillac around today. I had to have oatmeal, you know.
Uh-huh.
She said, yes, ma'am. She stopped, which is just what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, you're coming in from school, aren't you? She said, no, ma'am, I'm just coming in from college. I said, college? Yes, ma'am. I said, well, I thought you were still in well, I wasn't going to say grade school, but, you know, and high senior, junior, anyway. She says, "No, ma'am, I'm out of school. This is my second year in college, and I'm married." I said, "Oh, no, they make them so young that you like the last fell off wheel." And Betty Ann says, "Mama, I'll be talking to you about it." She says, "Mama, do you know that person, that lady?" I said, "Never seen him before in my life."
Well, you know, it's a gift, Margaret. I can't do it. They won't talk to me.
Oh, Mr. Miles. My goodness. You and your lovely wife, both of you. You have a great personality, a good front. You know,
not strangers.
Well, I don't know how many people, before I had surgery 3 years ago, I had gotten acquainted with two lovely ladies in the store. And where we were shopping, you know. We got talking about the high cost of living and this thing and that thing, you know, first one thing or two, and they kept on, and now we just go to town, and, "Hey, Margaret!"
Miss Judy's about out of food, so
yeah,
give her,
I
give her something
cringing. Oh, my goodness, Lord, so just because we happen to be just on a little, Mama's not on the fat side, but I am. She's really ate dinner.
Give her a little something. You don't want to go home hungry.
What's in my beans? No, ma'am, no, ma'am.
But you, Mama?
Thank you.
I have some, Miss Miles, and they're so good.
They are delicious, but I need my
husband's about to have pole beans. So were these grown out there too, or did you buy them? Or?
No, I believe his pole beans are in. How much coffee is it? All right.
Mine's fine, thank you. Thank you. You just sit down.
I think mine would be cool enough so I won't have to tell it to blaze.
Is this, if I may ask, and I hope you won't think I'm being well, I don't think you could class this. Is this Perk coffee?
Mm-mm. No.
This is.
This is instant.
Well, it tastes just like Perk. Now, you know, I reckon I'm going to get Miss, what's her name? Olson.
A.N.P.
Is that A.N.P. coffee?
A.N.P. coffee.
Well, we are great lovers of the A.N.P. brand thing. It's good. She's a good cook.
But I don't like the 8 o'clock.
You don't like the grain 8 o'clock? We use that when we use, Now, my husband doesn't like instant coffee at all. But sometimes he drinks it and don't know it.
Yeah.
And I get so tickled I won't last. Something I pulled over like plain flour biscuit.
No, that's the cost for the
He wouldn't eat a plain flour biscuit on the bed. But he had a dollar now, as Mama says. He had a dollar. Every plain flour biscuit he's eaten over the 34 years. We might could get a few of our financial businesses taken care of. Now, I don't mean that I'll do it just because he, but I have it several times, you know, it would have run short of flour. I like to use plain flour for cake.
Faye's sister went down to West Tennessee one time.
Well,
family.
If he can't read, he don't know where he's playing a self-line.
Well, now, what is it he doesn't like?
He doesn't like plain flour biscuit. That is, you have to add salt and pepper. I mean, salt and baking powder.
And he put pepper to it. I reckon he's taking notion.
No, I don't think
so. He wants it made out of self-rising flour?
Yes, ma'am.
Ain't nobody could tell the difference.
Just a plain flour biscuit.
Well, if he knows that it's plain flour, you know, they'll put on the package. And he's used to being, he said when he was growing up, he ate so much cornbread as a boy. And he said if he ever got out where he could make his own living, but that was one thing he was going to have, was his biscuit to eat. So I pretty well over the years, we used to make, I made him great big pans. You gave us a pan, you know, a big tin of biscuits every morning. I mean, not for breakfast, because we moved right out the mill. We've been married last of May, June, July, about 3 months. We moved out from Mama's over in the woods. They built us a little shack that they called us, you know, living.
Over the mill?
Yes, sir. And he was an edgeman, worked for one man for 22 years, working in the sawmill. And I'd cook biscuits. Ham, grit, coffee. And then dinner time I'd cook rice and macaroni or different things. You know, I didn't realize, I knew too that they were starches. But it's a wonder I hadn't got as big as had to have special doorbells. You know, that's getting to where it's now. The trailer doors are kind of jamming too, and I've been wondering why. And it's me trying to get in and out.
I dragged a little too.
Two operations you had just making you. And two operations you had making you big guy.
They'll slow you down. Yeah.
I like to have a little defense, you know. Mom comes to my defense once in a while. Yeah. But it's because...
And you had that first operation, you wasn't too...
Well, I really put on the weight in the last Well, I've put it on the last 5 years. Of course, Willie says Mom and I both have always been over 600
pounds. Let me tell you about going
with me there.
Pictures there that I'm looking for that.
Yes,
and
he said you were busy down there working with the kids. Pictures.
And I come across my oldest kid's picture with our little pug-nosed dog walking behind me.
Who's that? Who's this?
My oldest child.
Oh, me, Mom. I don't know. I'm the oldest, aren't I? I wasn't thinking about this.
How old was she?
This is before Daddy died. I was in my 30s.
It was after her and Lehman married.
And I thought
war.
I
and
she's
pug-nosed.
Had a little...
Talking about a little dog.
Amos, I believe it was, wasn't it?
Rex.
Rex.
And he called
Amos.
Woman used to cook for Uncle Martin a long time ago. And she later, cooked for Mama. And, you know, would help us around. She was kind of a nursemaid.
Uh-huh.
And she finally had to move. She left her home place for a while. She'd become, you know, kind of bad health. So she moved close down the store. This little dog taking that with her. Well, you know how a lot of Negroes are. Black people, as we're supposed to say. But I'm like, you can't get used to that. It's a Negro. There's
Negro.
And she said, that little old dog is just worrying me. Said, I like to keep him, but
she was
I don't know where he's going to be tomorrow.
She was a darky.
So we taking the dog, and we had to keep him chained, keep him in the house. But, you know, this little dog finally, he died. He was
He died.
Well, now, when you lived in the woods over there, when you was first married, didn't that sort of spoil you? Out there where nobody could bother you?
Well, are you coming from a, not exactly a large family. I was awfully lonely, and Lamy's boss man, he loved to catch me, you know, I'd be washing. I've always been very particular about my wash and my dishes.
Yeah.
And, He'd come up along then and use rub boards, you know. And
oh, yes.
Did you ever know anything about a rub board?
Oh, I use them many times.
And he'd come up and he'd stand there and he smoked a pipe. He's always bad pulling his britches up with his elbows.
His
belt.
Elbow.
Yes. And he walked one morning. Yes, Mr. Williams, my boss man. He walked up there and
so you made as much noise as I can hear the little boots over there.
The little old woman, you can't even tell. She's walking, Mr. Miles.
With her heels. Go ahead, what you doing? You don't have to.
He notices that after the several years. I guess that's the way Lane Lane. Hey, I wish you'd hold up 100 of that pounds of weight when you walk across the floor.
Now, Mr. Williams was your boss man.
Yes, my husband's boss man.
Go ahead.
And
I just want to hear this.
He'd walk up behind me, and you know, you could feel the presence of anyone. I'd be just as busy as I was going in the washroom, going up and down, you know, washing my clothes. And I'd take a look on the see if they were clean,
yeah.
Rub the fire out of them almost. They had to be clean. And they'd go back down the tub, you know, and I'd rub in, and I heard somebody laugh one day, and I had his pipe and pulled his pants up and said, I don't believe I've ever seen a woman in my life wash clothes as hard as you do. He says, are you getting them clean, Margaret? I said, Mr. Williams, what are you standing over there looking at me that way for? And he won't forget it. And he really had a laugh. He'd tell Lane, he'd go back down to the meal. Lane, come to the house. But damn it, you know, for the meal. And I'd get through my wash and get my wash out and run in the house and fix dinner. And then everything had to be just so. See, it was a new bride then. Everything just had to be so. There's a lot of water running under the bridge, or somebody was telling somebody yesterday, over the bridge. I don't know all over those years.
And just
this tablecloth reminds me of the tablecloth you had over at the mill.
Yeah, over at the mill?
It was cloth and had napkins with it, and they had to be washed and fixed just so, you know. And reused. What were you going to say, Miss Mike?
This, it was cloth. I didn't know anybody used cloth, tablecloths out in the woods.
Yes, sir. You've been surprised at what I had. But still got to that matter.
You were just putting on the dog, that's all.
Well, I'd always liked the idea. It's like, that's fuss. Lame Betty Ann says, that's just reading. Betty Ann says, that's reading my mind. I don't want to wash dishes. Says, you can see anything if it's not clean, if it's not the grease. But now you go in that trailer, and I hope you won't get in that line cleaned up. And you say, well, how in the world can Margaret talk that way? I'm talking about my dishes now.
Yeah.
I want my dishes clean and my stove. And Ben says, yeah, Mom won't cook hamburgers. She won't cook anything greasy. I said, no. If I'm cleaned up, and you know, get to it myself. I cleaned up. But if it's not cleaned up, it won't nothing last. I've got pots and pans I want you to know. I've been using nearly 34 years.
Well, where did she get that, Miss Jenny?
What she started out housekeeping on.
Huh?
What she had when you
I
mean
think she reference to how, why did I do that?
Yeah, where did she learn how to do all that?
Well, I tried to learn her a little bit.
You like
picked,
that?
She yeah. picked
she's,
the rest
she's
of it up.
She's got some, you still got that tater moment you had when you first married. She's got a sweet potato she's had all these years. Didn't
it
Daddy give it to you?
It was given to me about 2 years before we married.
Good gracious, Mama. I didn't know I'd open the gate. Did you get that, Miss Mom?
Yeah, sure
a
did.
Sweet potato.
A sweet potato.
It's,
when you first gave it to me, it was about that long.
But
it was roasted.
He'd already roasted it for
me. And had it wrapped up in the paper, you know, and wrapped up. Then he says, Miss Edison, do you accept this? I says,
yes, ma'am, excuse me.
If it ain't anything that will bite.
No, nobody likes to get hold of this.
I says, it's not a frog you got in that little box.
Now let me
watch
the
he says, nope.
Well, it's not fair.
I says, well, I
know
it can't be a snake.
Ran into this, he ran and listened to you.
And she says, he says, no. You just open it up. And I was awfully particular about how I untied that string from around that little box. And
would that be?
And then kind of felt of the.
Oh, goody, I was just fixing to say it. It would be
oh.
bad if I asked for some more. And I don't really need that pie, but I know it's good.
That's a little piece. That's special.
Anyway.
Say, I can't hear him. You go ahead and get your stuff going there. I can't hear if all this going on.
I had the thing, the little paper, you know, piece of tissue paper he had wrapped around.
His mouth was a shoe.
I opened it up, looked in, and I said, first thing I thought of was a frog that he'd put in there. You said, it ain't going to hurt you.
That was Uncle Jim's influence. You couldn't believe anybody.
So I went ahead and kept pulling the paper. I say, stinking dog, you. That way, you know, that's one of my big words, you know, get away with me or anything like that. You sing it down. And he just fell like me. He laughed. I says, you're going to lose that gold crown some of these times.
That when Dad gave you the potato?
Mm-hmm. I says, you're going to lose that gold crown some of these times and stop laughing, you know. He says, why? I said, you're going to laugh and something's going to hit that gold crown, you won't have it.
Mom,
not good.
And I could tell just as good, so I taken it on, it was potato. Well, I wouldn't eat it then. And I kept that potato wrapped up, and I found a little box pretty. And it's, I guess, still in that little box.
Last time, I think you've been, you married in 13?
Mm-hmm.
And that was 2 years.
12. 12. Sounds long, 11. It must have been long about 12 that he gave it to him, 1912 gave it to him, because we met in 1911. Christmas Eve of 1911.
Didn't let it go, it's all right.
Sir?
I'm talking about good wife.
If he hadn't said good wife, I don't know what I was going to do to him. Isn't it strange what the wives and the husband, well, I guess the husband puts up with a lot of it too, don't they? I reckon. I don't know. And pots of coffee that I've made, Lane and I used to make just pots of coffee and just drink pots. And you said something about biscuit a while ago. Made me think about, Daddy used to take biscuit and put it in coffee.
Yeah.
Now that's it.
That's right.
That's it.
Yeah, I've with sugar in it.
That's
somewhere.
Right. And my husband and I have eaten and drank, or have you want to put it?
I mean,
coffee.
Your daddy always sing nice brown.
He's like
that's
a good
right.
crust.
That's right.
Crust.
You just break it off and
put it in the coffee.
Put it in the coffee and eat it. And it's so good, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. We've eaten, that's what
that
we don't say.
Cold
we've eaten
cold
like
coffee.
And I always, I think about a second. No, I think it's
now how, you see, we lived 1,000 miles apart. And still we've done the same thing. Isn't that curious?
That's right. It is. It's strange the customs people have, different people have over the years.
That way up in far corner of Tennessee.
I would love to go to places like that, Tennessee and Kentucky. Have either of you ever lived in Kentucky? Or, I know you're native Tennessee, is that right?
Well, it's right on the kind of state line.
Her husband says she can go to any state she wants to in the United States, but stay out of Kentucky. Oh, boyfriend.
I forgot here a while back said something about. I said, you know, I'd love to go to Kentucky. I don't know what you want to go out there for. You go out there to see Wallace, I and didn't even think of the man. He was down visiting us last year. He tried to get me to run away from school and marry him, and I didn't do it. Well, my husband, Layman, tried to get me to quit school. He didn't say anything about running away.
Yeah.
And, of course, this man's lost his wife since he moved to Tennessee. I mean, Kentucky.
Don't forget that state you want to go to.
Thank you, Ron.
Don't forget what, Miss?
Don't forget the state she wants to go to.
I'd get the chance. All I'd have to do is ride up there and tell Wallace that I'd like to come and visit up there in Kentucky and see where he lives.
Yeah.
But Lane would say, well, if that's the way you feel about it, just keep going. Now, what are you having to drink, and what is he having to drink?
I sure got a little
bit. I'm finished with mine.
A little piece of pie like that. Little woman, little piece of pie. Very big woman, little piece of pie.
That's nice country up there, and I wish I could just go up there every now and then. Especially, I tell you.
Yes, I mean now, just dabbling now.
Yeah, it's playing. It's playing now.
The best time to be up there is in August. You know, they lay by the crops. And I come from a farming community. There's still farms out there. And the month of August, you know, that's when they have all the family coming in, stay a week too. And several branches of the family around there. And they have the meeting, their revival for a week, you know how they do that.
Yes.
And that's all in August. So, and then there's always a lot of...
It is a busy month, isn't it?
Yes, always a lot of canning to do, you see. You'll have some sweet corn or peas and all like that. And a good time to do that up there. they had that good old country fashion. We'd get out there on the shade tree, you see, and have one of them old tables like that. And out there, you see, where you've got benches on the side, and just sit there and listen to the ball games and talk and shell peas or shucked corn, things like that. And I'm telling you, August just don't last no time.
I know.
It just passes fast.
Speaking of having
now, they don't can it so much. Now they freeze it all, don't they?
That's right. And I don't like. I mean, I can't say now. These, I believe, were fresh pole beans.
Oh, yeah, they sure were.
But I don't know how you folks do. But we don't. So far, we don't have freezing. Now we did use Monroe till we moved up to his new house, you see. So we don't have a way of freezing unless you just do some little dab of stuff, you know, put it in your refrigerator freezer. Mm-hmm. But to us, the beans, or the peas, either one, aren't good. They're shucky.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people make and fix them, but we put ours in jars.
It's a hard job, but they're good when you want to eat them.
We can them. Many of we've worked till way night. I've canned till 2 o'clock in the morning, but those days are done. But I'm not going to do it anymore.
Well, it don't take that long now, does it?
Well, it wasn't necessary, Mr. Miles, at that time. But of course, I cooked. I used them. Wood stove for 12
an
years.
Oil stove.
And then an oil stove. I have gas now. But I used a wood stove for 12 years and I canned on that. But I'd can till 2 o'clock in the morning. I was canning pickles or relish or making jelly or doing something like that. I figured that as a wife it was a must. Something you wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I did. I wanted to do it. I didn't.
Yeah.
Nobody pressured me. I tell you, I'm not the kind of person you. it has to, I guess I've gotten a little older because years ago I had plenty to do today. But I just, because of Mama and Ms. Miles, and yeah. Because
I wouldn't let you.
And I just get in on it because I'm here. Miss Kitty, let me tell you. I want you to tell me this. On your picture now, we're talking about Mr. Chitty. On this picture, he had. Which one was that? The other one.
It's on the bottom.
Now, he looked so healthy there, but he had already had one little spell?
Yes, he had several spells before that
time.
Before
that was made in 41.
kids were.
And yeah. Made the boys went to Jacksonville to sign up.
Because Martin went in 42, almost a year to the day, that Daddy went with him to Jacksonville to enlist in the Navy.
Yeah.
The following year, almost just like, I think, one day. But they didn't know it was going to work out that way. I don't know how many remembers it, but I well remember. But that picture was made at that time.
Oh, yes. And he had already had several.
He had several, yes. But I'll tell you, this is something that I well remember, and I know Mama does too. Naturally, over the years we used to have a little, whatever happened to that little kettle, Mom? She kept it now and we put it to the fire. Now this is the way we would relieve Daddy's heart attacks. You know, bathe his feet and legs from his knees down in hot water, and we children taking part in that too. I did especially, and Willie, and helping Daddy. We were so excited, you know, worried afraid something would happen to him.
Mm-hmm.
So over the years, after he would continue having his heart attacks,
he's
more
come
severe.
Out of the field from working years wiser that than that.
The doctor
oh,
would go along and made house calls then, you know, a doctor would see him in the field one day and maybe have to come out to him that night. Now, Miss Kitty, stay in the bed tomorrow. Rest tomorrow. Don't be out there behind the mule, the horse.
Or that
blame
old hoe handle.
Yeah, the hoe, Daddy's hands. I'm thinking just I'm
afraid.
My name
is Peter. Just
Peter Hohan.
That's right. But my heart.
Poor fellow's hands had corns in his hand fingers in. From the plow handle and the hoe handle.
Good, tough, callous hand. Yeah.
I seen him take his pocket knife, trimming that callous corns away, and had a corn off of his hands, a decent. And his brother Jim, he used to be a fisherman down on Lake Apopka. And his hand around here this way.
In between his thumb.
It was good and hot, I believe.
And that just
double warmed it.
Just like leather, where they'd run them trot lines and net things through their hands, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I seen him sit and cut his till you'd make him bleed. Here in the late years. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. And then when he come up here, he still had to fish.
And he'd go fishing these little holes.
I think he did that kind of commercially, didn't he? You know, to sell a fish or something.
Oh, yeah.
Down there.
That was his job down there.
But this up here was just for pleasure.
Just for pleasure.
That is a good likeness of Daddy. His hair is a little too white, isn't it, Mom?
I don't know. Daddy's hair was getting pretty white.
Wish you haven't taken care of it. Like everything else, you hadn't taken care of it.
Now, you was telling me, Miss Kitty, when he'd have a spell like that, Dr. Daly.
Old Dr. Daly.
Old Dr. Daly.
This Dr. Daly at Wellston is his father.
Mm-hmm.
He'd come out to him. I doubt that and over there at Wellston, he'd come out and talk to him like his daddy would.
Well, you wouldn't have time. He's so busy.
That's
you
right.
Know. Well, now, when he come out there at night, you said he'd sit down there in that chair and talk to him.
And talk to him just like he didn't have another care in the world to do but to sit there and talk to
him. Well, young Dr. Daly now, I had to care Betty in over there the other day, and he's a lot like his daddy.
Let me get this out of your mama. I remember you said he'd come there early in the morning.
Sometimes we'd get him out there in the morning, and then again it'd be maybe around 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And he has come by then. See Frank working way across the field. He'd come by on his evening going back home. He lived at Mesinope. He'd come back by, and by the time he thought Frank was in, you know, stop up and talk to him. I seen you working over yonder this morning. Watch out, I don't have to come out here to you tonight.
Yeah.
Frank thinks that's what kept the spell off of him a lot of times. Doctor seeing you before he got to the house, and you wouldn't have a spell.
Yeah.
I said, well, you have to tell Dr. Daly he conjured you.
And he'd come at night, and he'd sit down in that chair.
And talk to Frank.
And get out a cigar.
He smoked cigars, didn't he?
Yeah, smoking.
That's what you said the other morning.
But I think he was smoking a cigar.
Smoking a cigar.
Yeah, he's smoking. I see him just as good as it was yesterday.
Yeah, and tell Mr. Titty. What was it? Some.
Well, there's several times.
And he could live. He could just keep on living if he'd behave or something like that.
Just quit that there getting out that plowing and hoeing. Says you've got a heart trouble. He says, I'll tell you the truth. Says your heart caused you to have these spells. Says, but if you'd quit working so hard, live in the shade. If it was summertime, you'd have them in the wintertime, have to frost the boys out and hit cold to go get the doctor to come for them.
Yeah.
But boys wouldn't but one home. Poor old fella like to run him to death.
Drank it.
On the wheel, come up here to, where am I at? I'm damn lost. Well, you know, that house down, I don't know where you go that way, but it's from down from Shiloh. Mm-hmm. That house down in the bottom just before you get to where you turn off to go to Willis. On the left-hand side going.
Mm-hmm.
Who's that?
The old Johnson house down in the bottom there, you know. Anyway, Frankie would get on. Jim has time or two taking his wheel and went up there to Ms. Johnson to get her. Ms. Johnson wanted to go to make an opening get the doctor at night.
Oh, yeah.
But it always fell mostly on Frankie's shoulder.
Yeah, he'd get on his wheel and go over there and get the Johnsons to go in there.
And go and get them to take him or go for the doctor. Now, if Ms. Johnson went, she went in a hurry, but if Mr. Johnson went, poor fellow, he's dead and gone, but I think he had to tip the bottle before he could go.
Yeah. Frankie, but now, when Mr. and Dr. Daly come out there in the middle of the night, he just sits there and talk to him.
But then to talk to Frank, till he told Frank was kind of calm down.
Yeah.
He'd come in there and Frank would be on the bed or sitting up on the side of the bed just this way. Just a shaking like he was having a hard chill. You remember he would come in there one night and just seen him, rode him back over on and you lay down there and behave yourself. And he ain't got his ammonia. He don't get about a half a glass of water, teaspoon, he said. I went and got and brought in there to him, and he came out of the bottle and kept watching Frank over his shoulder. Frank said, Doc, you're going to give me some darn ammonia, and it won't do me a bit of good. Mm-hmm. He says, how do you know? It's because I smell it. He says, well, you know, Mr. Chitty, Frank, sometimes he goes, if you, when you feel them spells coming on you, if you get your bottle of ammonia and just sit and smell it for a while, since that spell would go off. He says, you don't have to take it, just smell it.
Almost had the same
thing. Oh, I've done the same thing. I've used ammonia. And it'll bring you too, won't it?
I have to. Last year, after we had a flu, I don't know what it was, I feel bad. I said, it don't sound good when you say something, just, but I heard it was going to happen to me before the night came.
Excuse me, I get strangled sometimes.
And I don't like taking. I've heard people, you know, when someone passes away in your family, they want they're ready to get the smelling salts. I don't know what smelling. What is smelling salts supposed to be, a medicinal or something?
Well, smelling salts is a crystallized, look like fine glass.
Now I don't mean no harm saying this, but someone get on my nerves is to get all these kind of things.
You've seen camphor gum taken and shriveled up, and it looked like little fine scales of ice or something.
I've heard of it for years.
But this, and it's the smelling salts generally in either a black looking bottle or a dark green looking bottle, always what I've got. But
never saw it.
But you heard people say, you know, that, and there's a lot of times you hear them talking about it in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But get the smelling salts, get the so-and-so, it's going to faint, oh, please, hurry up.
Uh-huh.
And when my daddy died, as close as I was, they figured, well, I'm just close to mom, not more so close, double close.
My standby, I got the old bottle hid there somewhere now.
Oh, no, Mom.
About that high, I reckon. because the grand is this is here with a long neck. The body out about like that.
This is one that you had and you thought you was going to faint or something.
One that Frankie tried to, he got all up in my hair. And my hair was long then, and it turned up and bowled up. He got all. My nose says, "Why you don't put it up in there? Put some in your hand.
Well, they were
hold
just
it
kids.
To her nose."
Then your mama fainted, you know. She wondered, is this the time you mashed your fingers so bad? Or?
Yeah, that's when I mashed
time
it.
Time to take a half a ton or a ton of
corn
off the axe handle.
The
boys.
It wasn't on the handle, it was on the axe.
Now, see, tell me about it, Mrs.
Oh, no, another gate's been opened.
Well, this same Everett Smith and his brother and William Frank Martin had planted squash over in the old Williams field, back where they call it, the old field. But Mr. Steve Williams was living there at the time. And they'd taken our mule and our wagon and going through to meet Smith boys. They went out this grade down there where Monroe, you know where Monroe's house is? Well, they went this grade over there. And that morning they'd been down, they brought his truck with a trailer on it. And they had backed it in there and loaded it up with corn. Corn had been made the year before, you see. And pulled it out. Now, our dog pen, our spotted power was between, this was the other old house before tore it down and turned it around. The wood pile was here and the big gate there, and they pulled it out. The axe handle, somehow or another, some of them threw the axe down and they got through with the axe, you know, just chunked it over.
Uh-huh.
And the axe just turned over and fell right in the rut where they come out with that trailer. Well, it didn't have the two wheels on it.
Uh-huh.
Brought over here and put the tongue down on the ground. Well, me and Monroe was out there, it was the 28th day of October.
Wednesday.
Me and Monroe went out. He went out to get wood. Well, I was trying to iron, and I wanted to bake a cake and get things fixed so when Margaret and Lehman got there, I wouldn't have so much to eat.
We were traveling at that time, about 40 miles from there.
And they walked all the way from Williston home out to my place.
Had two chickens, Karen. And some clothes and some other stuff I was bringing to Mama. But I wasn't fat then like I am now. I could stand to walk 9 miles.
But anyway, Monroe couldn't get the axe, and he called Frankie to come help him. Well, Frankie was down back at the cert furnace down there, working in a little garden he'd had in a double hog pen. His daddy had hogs in there. He done got the hogs out, and he was using those two pens for a garden. Here down there when we're finally Monroe says, "Frankie, come on, help us get this here old trailer off of this axe. I'll be there directly." He says, "Well, Mama's got to have wood. She's got to finish ironing, and she wants to bake a cake. And she can't do it without wood." Well, Frankie kept piddling around. So I got tired of hearing them hollering back and forth at one another. I went out there, Miss Know-It-All, Miss Smart Aleck. I got hold of the axe handle and done that way. "Mom, you turn the trailer." I said, "I don't care if it turns it over and knocks the wagon shed down. What did they leave it here in the road this way for? Why did they leave it in the wood pile for?" Boy, I was just rolling them over the road. I said, "I'm going to have that axe out from under there, or I'll see why." Well, we got some wood blocks, you know, we're taking and raise that tongue up. I said, "Now, what you want to do? You want to keep the tongue going up so as to make it tilt like the, so the wheel will run off the axe? Or you want to let me hold up and you pull the axe out. He said, Mama, he says, don't think it's going to work. I says, well, let's give it a push, see if that'll do. I says, you push here and I'll go around the back. He says, no, ma'am, says, this that thing jerked me over and fall down on you too. Well, I seen right off he was right. And so I went on, kept working, and I still wasn't satisfied. So I went to put another piece under the tongue, and I did. I just, the other part slipped, and that tongue come down on my finger. Mashed it, there's just a tiny little place of flesh holding it here. That was all. Well, I had done, I got a scar here where I had mashed that finger with it.
Well, that tongue really got weight and leverage, hadn't it?
Yes, and it was, and then that, all the weight, you see, was toward the front, and must have been, I don't know how many pounds of corn in that. It was just long. You could,
I think you speak of that as tongue, don't you? I mean, it's some fast pounded.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that trailer goes on.
It was heavy, and I was trying to even tip it up. Mm-hmm. But it didn't get the axe out from under the wheel. But I was so mad. And I mashed my finger, and I mashed that finger. I says, well, darn every Smith trailer corn and all, I'm good minded to turn you and turn your bottom upwards. I was so mad and hurting so bad that I believe if Monroe would let me alone, I believe he would turn blooms.